Amen. And I'm glad that he's promised us that our bodies will be raised as well, because I'm going to get a brand new body, one that doesn't shake so much. Hallelujah. Oh boy, yeah, I'm sure you're saying hallelujah too. Amen. As you get older, I mean, when I was a young buck a few years ago, I kind of thought I was indestructible, and I come to find out I'm very destructible. My body ain't what it used to be, but my spirit is alive because of Jesus, and I'm going to get a brand new model in heaven. Amen? So are you glad about that? I hope you are. You know, how can we prove that Jesus Christ really rose from the dead? There are plenty of books and resources that prove historically that Jesus Christ rose. There's one that's kind of famous called Evidence That Demands a Verdict. You know, the evidence for the risen Savior. But you know what I've discovered? Historical proof doesn't convince most people. That just doesn't touch their hearts. It might touch their brain a little bit, but they're not going to be convinced that Jesus really rose just because this dusty old book says he rose. But I believe what persuades an unbeliever is the witness of that unbeliever's relative or friend who has this unshakable belief in the reality of the risen Lord Jesus, right? Every one of us is a witness of the risen Lord. Why in the world would a bunch of people like you guys and like this guy gather together on Sunday morning when we could be doing so many other things? Why would we gather together and say we worship this guy that died 2,000 years ago? Why in the world would we do that? Why? Because he rose, right? He rose from the dead. Believers, these believers, you and me, claim that the one who died is alive. And our lives declare it. A changed life is much more of a witness than a historical evidence, right? Lives that are changed by the power of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So we believers claim that the one who died 2,000 years ago is alive today. And we also claim that we've had a personal encounter with the living Lord, with the risen Lord. Have you had a personal encounter with Christ? Have you met him personally? Do you know him personally? Or is he just a sign outside of churches? Or is it just another name? I hope you've had a personal encounter with the living Lord. I want to simply show today that there's a universal response that people have when they encounter the risen Christ. And that response is worship. When people come face to face with the living Christ, they automatically worship him as Lord and God. So let's start our message this morning with the big picture. And the big picture is simply this. Each and every person who has ever lived is going to have a personal encounter with the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Every person on earth who has ever lived is going to have a personal encounter with Christ. Let me just read from Philippians chapter 2, verses 4 through 11. We're just going to read that whole passage. It's familiar to many of you, and I'm going to kind of paraphrase it after we're done reading it. Each of you look out not only for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. That could be better translated. He did not count his equality with God something to be grasped, to be held on to. But he made himself, Christ made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Verse 8. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Therefore, God the Father also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You like that scripture? Let me just kind of paraphrase it. Jesus Christ has from all eternity been the second person of the Trinity, God the Son in union with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. This Jesus did not count equality with the Father as something to be grasped, but he emptied himself of his divine privileges and took upon himself full humanity. He became a man, right? And he obeyed his Father to the point of death on the cross. Now, because he humbled himself in complete obedience to the divine plan, God the Father has highly exalted him, raising him from the dead and exalting him to his right hand in heaven. And now, the exalted Jesus has a name that is higher than any other name. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. He's Lord of all. And at the sound of his name, every knee in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, that's every knee of all people, all angels, all demons, every knee is going to bow before him, and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And this will give great glory to God the Father. The big picture is that sometime in history, either when Christ returns to set up his millennial kingdom or at the final judgment, everyone is going to have a personal encounter with the Almighty Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone, right? Because it says every knee is going to bow. Everybody who's ever lived is going to have this personal encounter with Christ. And you know what their response is going to be? Worship. They will bow their knee and confess that he is Lord. That's worship. Well, let me ask you. Do you want to gladly worship him by faith right now? Or would you rather wait until you're kneeling before him in terror, awaiting his judgment? Which would it be? One way or another, you're going to face Jesus Christ, right? He is the Almighty Judge. One way or another, each and every one of you, me, everyone, is going to have a personal encounter with the risen Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So which will it be?
Now.
Now, yeah. Now, that's a good choice. That's a wise choice. Bow the knee to him now. Confess him as Lord now. Embrace him as your Savior now. Because if you wait, it's going to be a much different story. Amen? Yeah. One way or another, you're going to worship him. He is the universal King and Lord. Amen? He is risen. So let's quickly look at some other instances where the risen Jesus was encountered and worshiped. I'm not going to have us turn there. This is a real obvious one. Some of the gals who went to the tomb and found it empty is found in the book of Matthew. And this angel told them, he is risen. Go and tell the disciples he's risen. And the ladies scurried off to tell the disciples. And they bumped into Jesus. There isn't Jesus. And Jesus said, greetings. And they went, ah! What did they do? They fell down at his feet and they worshiped him. The universal response for bumping in to the risen Lord is, I think I'll worship him because he is the Lord. Amen? Now, this next example is probably the favorite of most believers, and it involves a disciple named Thomas. Ever heard of Thomas? We call him Doubting Thomas. Why do we call him Doubting Thomas? Because, I'll just briefly again review, after Jesus had risen from the dead, the disciples were meeting in a room that was locked, and he showed up. Jesus just appeared. I guess he could walk through doors or something. He didn't knock. He just came in. And the disciples were glad to worship the King of Kings. But Thomas was not there for some reason. Maybe he was out getting groceries. We don't know. But when he came back and Jesus had left, the disciples said, we've seen the Lord. Thomas said, right. Well, he didn't. That's a paraphrase. He said, I'm not going to believe it unless I can put my finger. He was kind of a gory kind of guy. He said, unless I put my finger in the wound in his hand and thrust my hand into his side where that spear pierced him, unless I can do that, I'm not going to believe. Well, you know what happened? I thought I had this marked. Just a sec. John chapter 20. Bear with me here. John chapter 20, verse 26 through 29. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and he said, peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand there here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, what? My Lord and my God. What was Thomas's response to his encounter with the risen Lord? He worshiped him. He called him Lord and God. And I see him groveling on the ground before Christ saying, oh my goodness, you are my Lord and my God. You are risen. You are the King. I worship you with all my heart. That's the universal response when people meet the risen Lord. So he is not only the Lord of all, Lord of the universe, the Lord of all creation. He is the personal Lord, right? Thomas said, my Lord. My God. Can you say that today? Jesus is my Lord. He's my God. I personally worship him. He died not just for the sins of all the world, but he died for me. Amen? He is the personal King and Lord. Well, if he's such a personal King and Lord, why do we get together for church? And a lot of people don't get together for church. They say, I've got a personal relationship with Christ. I don't need to go listen to that shaky, left-handed preacher. I can get a much better sermon on the TV and avoid all the conflict of getting together with other people. If he's such a personal savior, such a personal king, why do we get together for church? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because other believers are our family, our forever family. And God wants us to worship his son together as family, right? So he's my personal Lord, but he's also your personal Lord. That makes him our personal Lord. That means as a family, we can worship him together. Worship the risen Lord. Is the risen Lord here this morning? You know, I used to say, Christ is in our presence, but I don't say that anymore. I say, we are in his presence. He is here. And we worship him as a family. Amen? Well, in Luke 24, we read of Christ's ascension into heaven. I thought I had that one marked too. Must have been a different Bible. Luke 24. We read of Christ's ascension into heaven. He rose from the grave. He spent 40 days with his disciples. And then he departed into heaven. Luke 24, 50 through 53 says, and he led them out as far as Bethany. Jesus did. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him. They worshiped him. And returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. So this was not an individual experience. This was an experience of all the disciples together, brothers, family, and they all saw Jesus being taken up into heaven. And what did they do? They what? They worshiped him. They saw him depart, and they worshiped him. You know, though they couldn't see him anymore, they still worshiped him. Jesus said to Thomas, Thomas, because you've seen, you believe. But blessed are those who, though they haven't seen, have believed. We've never seen Jesus in the flesh, but do you still believe in him? Amen. He is here by his Spirit. He is very present. And I hope today you're having a personal encounter with the living Lord. So though they couldn't see him anymore, they worshiped him. He is the family king, right? We worship him as family. And then at the end of the book of Matthew, we read that part of his time with his disciples was in Galilee. That was where he gave them the Great Commission. But before he commissioned them, guess what they did? What do you think they did? They worshiped him. This is so cool. Verse 16 of Matthew 28. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. A few did doubt. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. When they saw him, they worshiped him. But those, some doubted, but the ones who did worship were commissioned to make disciples of all nations. So I see Jesus here as not just the personal king, not just the universal king, not just the family king, but the loving king. He loved the world so much that he laid down his life for the world, and he loved the world so much that he commissioned his disciples to tell the world that he is risen. Amen? We've seen him as the universal king that everyone will encounter and worship, either willingly, by faith, or by fear as they await his judgment. We've seen Jesus as the personal king who meets doubting Thomas right where he is, right? Right where he is. And we've seen Jesus as the family king, the one who we encounter as a body of believers, the family of God. And we worship him together. Finally, we are seeing him in this scripture as the loving king, because as we encounter him as the one who has all authority in heaven and earth, we realize that he loves the whole world. Amen? God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He loves the whole world, and in love, he sends his people out to make disciples of all the nations. Amen? So how about today, on Resurrection Day? Jesus is alive and well, is he not? I don't care what people say who don't believe in him. There's some pretty crazy things happening in our nation. I don't want to get political here. I won't. But people are rejecting the truth of Christ for all kinds of weird stuff. That doesn't make him any less relevant than he's ever been. He's always been the risen Lord. He's always invited people to encounter him. And often, on Easter Sunday, people have a face-to-face encounter with the risen Lord. Are you sensing that Jesus is inviting you to worship him? You know, maybe you've never had a personal encounter with the risen King. Well, the risen King is here. Amen? Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. The risen King is here, and he invites you to encounter him one-on-one in a personal level. And then, as you see Christ, you worship him. He becomes your Lord, your Master, and your God. The risen Lord is here. We are in his presence. He is holding out his nail-pierced hand and saying, put away your doubt and put your faith in me. Amen. Let's pray, and let's do that. Let's put our complete faith in the risen Lord. Lord, we thank you for this day where we celebrate your resurrection. We thank you that you are here and we are in your presence. Lord, thank you that you hold out your nail-pierced hands to each and every one of us, and you say, this is what I did for you. I gave my precious blood. I sacrificed my life on the cross so that you might have everlasting life and a living relationship with me. Lord, we thank you that we can know you, that we can encounter you, that we can worship you. Draw us close, Lord, and help us to live our lives in fellowship with the risen King. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.